My guest today is Scott Allen. Scott, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're working on a lot of Angular stuff these days, correct?
That's right. Quite a bit of Angular. Still a lot of ASP.NET, but on the client side, definitely AngularJS.
What's Angular do for a developer?
It's a framework for writing complex HTML applications. So it gives you the ability to work with abstractions like models and views and controllers.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people if they've ever worked with Silverlight or Flash or any of these client-side frameworks and libraries like that, it's very similar to that.
Okay. So you can apply some of the principles of more higher-level programming language that typically don't expect. So JavaScript is essentially a scripting language. It brings some of the...
Yeah, so the problem is JavaScript was designed as a scripting language that was just supposed to be a little bit of glue that you put into a web page. So who would ever write more than 10 lines of JavaScript
until
in a page, right?
Until they didn't, yeah.
Until they didn't, right.
And you've been writing big projects actually with JavaScript, with Angular in particular.
With Angular in particular, yes, because it would be something very difficult to do with a library like jQuery, which was popular for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, as people started building single-page applications and having the user interact with the page in a way where you're always responding to things with some AJAX request and putting things into the page and making things come out of the page, and a lot of this activity happening on the client, that's when you started to see frameworks like AngularJS, as well as Durandal and Backbone and Ember.
Mm-hmm.
They all came along to manage the complexity of building large applications using JavaScript and HTML.
Okay. Have you settled on Angular as your JavaScript framework of choice?
Pretty much. I'm always reevaluating things, but Angular has been it for close to 2 years now.
Is that just because you found something that works, or did you actually compare them and decide?
I actually did compare them. There was a period, actually I've done this two or three times now, where I've sat down and I've written an application using three different frameworks and just tried to see how things went. And it's kind of funny because the very first time I ever looked at Angular, I read through some of the documentation and spent about half an hour with it and thought, nah, I'm going to pass. It wasn't until I actually sat down with Angular and went through and trying to build an application that I said, I like this a lot.
What caused it to bubble to the top?
For me, it was a couple things. One is Angular, for the most part, allows me to write plain, simple JavaScript objects. Whereas a lot of the other frameworks, you had to create your models based on framework abstraction. In JavaScript, you had to create it through a certain factory method, or you had to inherit from a certain prototype, or you had to make your model observable and change all the properties to functions. Just do really strange things to your JavaScript objects, where Angular is pretty much just straight up. If I want a model that represents a podcast or a video cast, I could just say var podcast equals, add some properties to an object, and it'll just work with data binding in Angular, two-way data binding.
Okay.
So nothing fancy. That was one. And number two, one of the criticisms of Angular is that it's not opinionated enough. It gives you all these abstractions and structure to build an application, but it really doesn't enforce you to build things a certain way or say that you have to do things a certain way. Other frameworks do that.
Mm.
And there's advantages and disadvantages.
But you like that. You like that flexibility.
Personally, I like the flexibility.
Okay.
People would say, well, you know, these other frameworks, you might be more productive with them, which is true, but it all depends on what you're building, I guess. And you know, if you sit down and build something with a framework that's very opinionated and you have to build it this way, you know, what happens when you get the requirements that where you have to deviate from that a little bit or integrate other technologies, then those other frameworks become a bit of a problem. Whereas Angular, it's flexible enough, you can pretty much throw anything at it. I've integrated it with existing jQuery plugins, physics libraries, all sorts of stuff, geolocation APIs, pretty much anything.
You were telling me that once an application gets to be a certain size, then new challenges arise when you're using a framework like Angular.
Right. So, large JavaScript applications, and again, it goes back to the point where we used to write JavaScript, a few lines of JavaScript, and just throw it down on the web browser, and we weren't really concerned with performance so much, or you know, what happens if things break. Well, we're always concerned about when things break. But with Angular, or single page applications in general, I would say. There's just a couple things you have to pay attention to right from the start, I think, with JavaScript. And I could go through a whole list of things. But
Some of the top ones.
Number one and number two for me are, number one, you need robust error handling. So it's not enough just to dump errors out into the console, the developer tools. I think if you're building a large application and you're distributing it to a lot of people, you need to sort of know what's happening on the client. Server side, if we're building something with ASP.NET and something goes wrong, we at least get something in the Windows event log.
Right.
You know, with a stack trace and an exception, and people can look at it afterwards. Something happens on the browser and a client 1,000 miles away, you have
right.
no idea.
You drive to their house and look at
right.
their browser history.
So things could be breaking all over the place and you might not know it. So robust error handling, being able to track errors, trying to send them back to the servers.
How do you do this? Does Angular help you with that, or is that something you have to plug in?
Angular does help a bit, because it two things you can do with Angular. One is it has an exception handler service that you can tap into that all the uncaught exceptions bubble into that service. So you can record them from there.
And that'll send it back to an agent?
Well, not automatically.
Oh, they need to write
that. So that's the, you have to add some extra
code. At least
you've
got a point for which to do that extension.
Right, right. And then there's libraries out there and some commercial products too that you can add their JavaScript libraries to instrument your code and do all sorts of analytics for you. That would be going even one step further. But I think you need consistent error handling too. So many web developers who are like me that came from a server-side background, and we typically didn't write a lot of JavaScript, just have to reorientate my thinking to make sure that things like error handling, I want it to be robust, but I also want it to be consistent.
Right.
Like I don't want someone writing this component and they might catch a few exceptions and put them on the screen, and the next developer on the other page, they catch the exceptions and dump them into the console. I want everything
sure.
sort of funnel through the exact same error logic.
Yeah, if you have a larger project, chances are they're greater that you have multiple developers on it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you remember like the patterns and practices enterprise application blocks. They had something I never actually used, but it was like the exception handling block.
Sure. Yeah.
Exception handling policy.
Yeah, I used to actually work for Avanade, which created that block.
Oh yeah. Well, so. That's something that you should think about, that sort of pattern
right.
For your JavaScript application. So I'm going to funnel everything through a single place so that it's consistent throughout the application.
So exception handling is a big one. What else?
Right. Then there's a lot of little things too. Like people come to JavaScript from different backgrounds. You can have people who used to be Java programmers or Ruby programmers or Python, Perl, C#, and everyone has then their own way of writing JavaScript code.
Like the language they came from.
Exactly. So I think on a team, when you're writing piles of JavaScript code, you should think about things like a coding standards document so that everyone's being consistent about file names and camel casing and how to name things so that everyone on the team can look at a directory structure, look at the JavaScript code, and it's at least somewhat similar.
Right.
And that's kind of a little thing. The other thing is just to understand Angular, some of the abstractions and how they work together, to make sure you're doing the proper thing at the proper time. So an example would be, if you need to manipulate the DOM, there's a certain way you should write that code and a certain abstraction of Angular that you should put that code into. It's called a directive. So DOM manipulation code has to go here. pieces of code that communicate back to an HTTP API on my server. I want them all inside of Angular services that are a certain type of component. Pieces that put together model information and talk to those services to get data to data bind onto the screen, I want to put that inside of controller code.
This is mostly so that other developers know where to find it, or does this actually affect the performance of my application?
Not the performance so much, but definitely where can developers find it, and testability. It impacts testability a bit. So you want your models and controllers to be very easy to test.
Okay.
Directives can be a little bit trickier to test because they're the pieces that actually manipulate the DOM.
What's a directive?
So a directive in Angular would be like an HTML attribute that you add into your HTML, that Angular can actually find that attribute and hook into it and allow you to write JavaScript code that wires up events or changes the text of that HTML or adds additional templates into it. It's just directives in Angular are the pieces that you write that can manipulate the HTML.
Okay.
And actually, you can create entirely new HTML tags with directives. So in HTML, we have div tags, nav tags, head tags, span tags, table tags, you know, all that stuff. But it's all very low-level markup.
Okay.
With Angular, you could write a tag like my navigation bar.
Okay.
Or employee display.
And that would contain other HTML elements or JavaScript.
Right. And again, if people have worked in Silverlight before, a lot of this will be kind of familiar. In Silverlight, it would be like creating a user control.
Sure.
You can give it a name, and it has meaning to your business, and you put it into your XAML somewhere, and
okay.
It can kind of stand out.
So we've got Silverlight error handling, we have naming conventions, we have conventions around the structure of your application.
Yes, definitely. And then there is also unit testing.
Unit testing in JavaScript. This is a big one.
Yes.
People that swear by unit testing on the server don't write unit testing for the JavaScript. I've met these people.
Yes, that's true. But I cannot tell you how many hours the unit tests have saved me, just in the last year. Now, to be honest, when I first started writing unit tests for Angular code, I wasn't too happy with it. If you look at a lot of the Angular examples on how to write unit tests, they're trying to be good examples, trying to be understandable code.
Mm-hmm.
But if you follow some of the patterns that you see in the examples and the documentation, you end up with just a lot of test code that I think is very noisy.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of inject this and set up this and mock this, and it just goes on and on
sure.
and on. It's hard to dig out the essence of a test. And over time, I've tried to find ways to reduce the amount of noise in the tests and make them relatively readable and clean and easy to read and look at. But because I truly felt that they were a huge benefit to the project, and I had to have those tests there.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to encourage other people to write tests, of course it has to be easy and simple for
straightforward,
them.
Straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, straightforward.
Is that, are you using a framework for doing your tests?
Yeah, a lot of the tests for Angular are done with either Jasmine or Mocha. I've been using Jasmine personally. It's a unit testing framework for JavaScript. It's not tied to Angular. You could use it to test any JavaScript code that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So using Jasmine and using tools like Karma, which is a test runner for JavaScript unit tests, you can run, this is just JavaScript, right? So you could run it in a browser and see all your test output and see when things pass and fail. There's a plugin for Visual Studio that will run JavaScript unit tests also.
So you can build those parts in MS Build.
Yep, you can do that. And there's special tools written there's a special tool written by the Angular team called Karma, which is a continuous test runner. You just launch it from the command line, point it to where your tests are, and every time you save a JavaScript file, it just re-executes all your tests and tells you right away if something is wrong.
That sounds slow.
Actually, I have had some issues with a lot of the JavaScript tools that do that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
about a year ago, I started using Node.js tooling alongside Visual Studio to manage JavaScript projects.
Mm-hmm.
So, this could be a whole other interview, but
okay.
to make it short, Node.js has some fantastic tools for JavaScript.
Mm.
Has nothing to do with writing web servers or using Node in production. If I just have Node on my development machine, I can use it to install new JavaScript libraries, I can use it to continually run unit tests, I can use it to lint my JavaScript code, which is go through and look for potential problems,
mm-hmm.
Minify JavaScript code, all sorts of wonderful tools out
yeah.
there for Node. But I have noticed on large projects, when you launch your continuous monitoring with this Node tool, so that when you save a file, it runs the tests and does the linting and package things up and puts them in another directory to serve to the browser.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm running it like 75% CPU and I look at
it. Is it doing it in the background or do you have to stop and wait for these tests to finish before you can go on?
Well, if I'm on a multi-monitor setup, I just have a command line window like on a second monitor.
Okay.
And that's it's continually running. It never stops. It's just watching the file system. And every time I save a JavaScript file, I'll see stuff scroll by in my periphery. And if something red pops up, I know something has gone wrong.
I see. So you're on your own little continuous integration just on your local machine.
Yeah, basically. Outside of source control. Very similar to that, yes. Yes.
Very nice.
Yep.
I think that's a lot of information.
That's a lot of information.
And a lot of good information.
Yeah, and just to summarize the unit testing thing, it's possible with Angular. Angular was designed to allow you to write testable code. So
because of the controller module.
Yeah, so go out and try it.
What's up next for you?
Up next, I have. Sorry.
Got some courses coming out, right?
Actually, I just had two Pluralsight courses come out this week.
Oh, really? Okay, this won't be out for a month or two, but.
The one on ECMAScript 6, which is the next version of JavaScript, mm-hmm. very exciting. A lot of changes to the language, finally. And the one on C# 6, which doesn't have as many changes to the language.
Very cool. Thanks a lot, Scott.
All right, thank you. You know, I love coming to these conferences because this is where I get to see my friends in technology.